Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Christmas Book Review with me, Carrie Mercer. So I usually do this podcast about once a month, but I'm trying to fit in a few extra episodes now that we're getting so close to Christmas this year. So this episode, I have a bunch of kids' books for you. Three picture books and two chapter books, all kids' books. They are Grandpa's Witched Up Christmas, The Drummer Boy, Geronimo Stilton Christmas Catastrophe, Deck the Halls, We're Off the Walls, and Holly Claus, The Christmas Princess. So let's get into the details of each book. The first one is Grandpa's Witched Up Christmas, written and illustrated by James Flora. This was originally published in 1982, so it's an old one, by Feral House Books. So for those kids who can't decide which is their favorite, Halloween or Christmas, this is a perfect picture book. Grandpa tells the narrator of the story how he almost missed Christmas one year when he was little. Taking a shortcut through the forest to get home on Christmas Eve, he ran into three evil witches who take turns showing off their magic to each other by turning him into different animals. And then he almost gets eaten as a pig for the witch Peggotty's Christmas dinner, when who should come in and save the day? You guessed it, Santa. So Peggotty is no match for Santa's wrath. This book was originally published in the 1980s, like I said, but was recently reprinted along with several other James Flora children's books, because he wrote a bunch. It's funny, because I thought this name sounded familiar to me when I was reading it, and I looked him up, and I finally put it together. He is Jim Flora, also known as, who was famous for his record cover art for RCA Victor jazz artists in the 1940s and 50s. I have one of several books written all about his illustration style, and I just love it. It's unique and fun and quirky. And his children's book art is slightly different style than the record covers, but it's still got that quirky uniqueness. The color palette of this particular book is a seafoam green, black, and shades of gray. The witches are appropriately warty and bony, and Flora's descriptions are deliciously icky. Quote, "The first witch was fat and dumpy, with sharp teeth and hair like an unmowed lawn," unquote. That just cracks me up, hair like an unmowed lawn. Other weird little creatures running around in the forest remind me of Monty Python animations or Yellow Submarine creatures. They're strange and a little funny, so not too scary. There's more text than in most picture books for this book, so it might be good for a kid trying to transition from picture books to chapter books. It's a funky book, probably not for everyone, but it's definitely got Christmas spirit. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. So the next book is called The Drummer Boy by Kaylee Schmidt and illustrated by Alicia Pace. This was published just this year by Cedar Fort. And she actually sent me a copy to review, so I really appreciated that. And I'll be sending that copy along to my friend Todd over at Christmas Clatter Podcast for his youngest, because he tells me she is a bookworm. Do any of you listen to Christmas Clatter? It's a great Christmas podcast all about the different trappings of Christmas. So it's a little bit of everything. One of my favorite episodes is a visit he did with a shop owner of a Christmas store called Yule Log Cabin, which just sounds so fun. And I learned in that episode that Todd has 7 Christmas trees in his house, so he is Mr. Christmas. Anyway, check out Christmas Clatter. I will definitely put a link to that in the show notes so you can find it easily. So, The Drummer Boy has a really soothing earth tones color palette, And the characters all have friendly, open faces, even the farm animals. It's a pretty simple story, but it's fleshed out with some fun details I haven't seen before in other versions. I mean, I learned the story of the little drummer boy from the song, Pa-dum-pa-pum-pum, and the Rankin Bass TV special from the 1970s, and those are both pretty light on details. In this story, however, the drummer boy actually has parents, and his father is training him to be a shepherd. He plays his drum for the sheep and himself, and then when Joseph and Mary stay overnight in the neighboring stable and Christ is born, the drummer boy wants to give them something meaningful. He tries to give them his most prized possession, the drum, but Mary has heard him playing the drum and tells him, "Keep your drum, share your talent instead," which I really love. I think it's such a good idea for kids to learn that they have talents to share, and that is just as good, sometimes even better, than giving a thing for Christmas. And the book ends very sweetly. Quote, "His cadence was soft among the cattle and sheep as the Lamb of God fell gently to sleep," unquote. Isn't that nice? I just love that. Now, as you can hear, the story is told in rhyming couplets. Not my favorite. I mean, unless you're a genius like Dr. Seuss, I think people should avoid trying to do whole stories in rhyming couplets because it's hard. And there are some awkward forced rhymes in here that kind of ruin the flow. But overall, I think this was a nice story with charming illustrations and a fresh take on a familiar character from The Christmas Story. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. The next book is called Geronimo Stilton, Christmas Catastrophe, and it is part of the Geronimo Stilton series, written by Elisabetta Dami, hope I'm pronouncing that right, published in 2007 by Scholastic. And I had to search Wikipedia for the author of this one, because the book is written with the conceit of being true tales told by the mouse reporter Geronimo Stilton, who lives in New Mouse City. So it was very difficult to find the actual author's name in the book. Plus, it's originally written in Italian, then translated into English. With 249 editions, it's actually one of the most best-selling series ever written. And I can see why. First, it's very eye-catching. The series is aimed at 6 to 12-year-olds, so early chapter book readers, kids just starting to get used to reading more words per page with less pictures. There's a lot of repetition, and there are still plenty of illustrations, mostly taking up only part of each page. And something you notice right away is how many words are colored and in a different font than the rest of the text on the page, kind of like an early 90s web page. On the web pages, it was just distracting, but here I think it actually contributes to the story. For instance, in the first chapter called Snowflakes Were Drifting Softly, the words snow and snowfall are written in chunky, light blue characters like ice, so they look cold. And each letter has a pile of whitish snow on top of it. There are also blue snowflakes all over the page. So the different fonts and colors emphasize something important about the story the reader should pay attention to. In this case, that snow is falling. This will become important soon enough when Geronimo Stilton agrees to take his nephew skiing to celebrate the winter holidays. The catastrophe of the title is Geronimo breaking every bone in his body when he crashes while skiing. The fun of this story, I think, is in all the little details. I think of it as kind of the next stage up in reading for that kid who loved Richard Scarry picture books, poring over all the little characters in Busy Town, Huckle Cat, Lowly Worm, and all their different vehicles. I mean, who can forget the pickle car? That's what this reminds me of, just for a little bit older reader. One of my favorite illustrations in this book is a two-page layout of the lodge where Geronimo and his nephew are staying, along with all the family members and friends who invited themselves along at Geronimo's expense. There's a complete floor plan showing all the furniture, including bunk beds, toilets, fireplaces, and each room is numbered. In the corner of one page is the key with each number labeled as to what type of room it is, and if it's a bedroom, who's staying in it. In Geronimo's case, he's stuck with his cousin Trap, sleeping in the broom closet. Sometimes words are colored and in a different font, just because they're fun words and maybe new to the reader. Like in the chapter after Geronimo crashes skiing, the EMTs, that's the emergency mouse technicians, take him down the mountain in a toboggan instead of a stretcher. Toboggan is just a fun word, so it's big and it's purple. There's also practical information in this story. Geronimo explains what an x-ray is and that it doesn't hurt to get one. And he has a list of tips for staying in the hospital, quote, so you won't be afraid, unquote. He's also got a whole page of, quote, rules of conduct for skiers, unquote, which a certain mouse ignored, resulting in both he and Geronimo being in the hospital with broken bones. Once Geronimo gets back on his feet, he has to do physical therapy with lots of walking. So there's another fun map, this one of the hospital and all the different departments. After Geronimo goes home from the hospital, he feels bad for all the sick mice who are going to be stuck in the hospital over Christmas. So he gathers his friends and family, and they all go back to the hospital on Christmas Eve to sing, play games, and tell jokes to cheer up the patients and staff. That's where the story ends, and then the last section of the book is a dozen or so pages of jokes and games. Most of them are doctor and dentist jokes, I think to go along with the plot, and also make doctors and the hospital less scary. Overall, this story isn't exactly steeped in Christmas spirit, but it does have the characters doing something really nice for others at Christmas time. And that's enough, I think. Also, it would be great for a kid who's going to the hospital and is a little scared about it. There's going to be some kids who are going to be going to the hospital over Christmas, so this would be a great book for them. And of course, for kids who love Richard Scarry's stuff. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. The next book is called Deck the Halls, We're Off the Walls. And this is part of the My Weird School series by Dan Gutman, illustrated by Jim Palott. It was published in 2013 by HarperCollins. This is another series for early readers, like ages 6 to 10. I used to read this series to my son when he was about 7. The story, as always, is told by AJ. He usually starts by saying he hates school, but since he's on Christmas vacation in this story, this one starts a little differently. He says he hates it when a song gets stuck in his head. Then he tells us about the song, which is by a rapper named Crazy, which is a clever little pun, who is also a kid about AJ's age. And the song is called The Christmas Klepto, as in kleptomaniac. Some kids will probably have to look up that word, but if they keep reading, they'll find out what it means. He gives us some of the lyrics, and it's basically a retelling of "Twas the Night Before Christmas," except this guy is stealing all the toys that Santa left. "Who are you?" I asked after a pause. "You sure don't look like Santa Claus." He said, "The name's Klepto. I'm from the South Pole. I grab all your presents. That's how I roll." Yeah, it's pretty silly. So AJ finds out that Santa is going to be at his local mall, and he asks his mom if he can go, but she has other plans for the day. So he cries, quote, "If you want something really badly and the situation is hopeless," unquote, AJ says, quote, "there's only one thing to do," quote, "cry. That's the first rule of being a kid," unquote. Which is funny, because if you read the series, you'll know that he says this in every single book, that's the first rule of being a kid. Only the rule is always different. And he has multiple first rules in every book. In fact, two pages later, he says the first rule of being a kid is to look at your parents with puppy dog eyes when you want something really badly. I know my son always found this to be really funny. Anyway, AJ manages to get to the mall with several of his friends because they all want to see Santa as well. But not until Saturday, and it's only Tuesday. Quote, "I had to wait 1,000,000 hours for Saturday to arrive. I thought I was going to die of old age," unquote. Obviously, AJ exaggerates a lot, and this is part of the fun of his character and his storytelling style. I think kids can really relate to how AJ feels a lot of the time. So when they get to the mall, the kids keep running into their teachers and other staff from school dressed as elves, doing temporary jobs to make extra cash for Christmas. This will become important in the story when a certain person seems a little too familiar to AJ. Another thing going on in the mall is that the rapper Crazy is there doing a show. Crazy and AJ happen to run into each other when Crazy is trying to escape his screaming fans. And they decide to switch outfits so AJ can give Crazy a break. Later in the story, AJ will do something that causes angry parents to run screaming after him. And Crazy will then return the favor. There are certain things that happen in every story in this series, like AJ running into Andrea, who is a girl from school who seems to like AJ. But he says he doesn't like her. He really can't stand Emily, who is always with Andrea and is super emotional and always seems to burst into tears about something. One of my son's favorite things is when something exciting happens and AJ tells us, quote, "Wow," we all said, which is mom upside down, unquote. This is a fun, lighthearted series that will appeal to readers probably at the same level as the Geronimo Stilton series, as far as difficulty. It's more realistic than Geronimo Stilton because the characters are kids instead of mice, and there's more comedy with maybe a little snark. There's also a special section in the back, like Geronimo Stilton's book, after the story ends, that has interesting Christmas facts, a few puzzles, and some Christmas trivia questions. It's full of puns, too, which you can kind of see just from the few things I've told you, like Crazy. And I love puns, so that's boosting up its score. Overall, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 on the Christmas spirit scale. It's a fun one. And last but not least is Holly Claus, the Christmas Princess. Written by Brittany Ryan and illustrated by Laurel Long with Jeffrey K. Bedrock. This was published in 2007 by HarperCollins. So this is a children's picture book, but it looks like it actually started as a children's fantasy novel called The Legend of Holly Claus, which came out the year before in 2006 and is over 500 pages. So this picture book is evidently a super abbreviated version of the longer story. That might explain why there are some characters pictured, namely Holly's four animal companions, who are barely mentioned in the text. I like the idea of the story, which is that one Christmas, a little boy writes a letter to Santa asking him what he wants for Christmas, which evidently no one has ever asked Santa before, and is such a selfless, thoughtful act that Santa is granted a wish, which is a child of his own. which is Holly. So Holly is a princess because in this story, Santa is a king, namely the king of the land of forever, where, quote, magical and mythical creatures mingle with real-life heroes whose acts of generosity and compassion live on after their earthly lives have ended, unquote. I thought that was really interesting. Mrs. Claus is Queen Viviana, and she has no wrinkles or white hair like Santa, but instead looks young enough to be Santa's granddaughter. This is really unfortunate, I think, as it would have been great to have a beautiful old woman who's as gorgeous as Santa, right? Instead, we get the patriarchal young wife for the old Santa. I just need to point that out. I mean, we have very savvy kids now, and the fact that Holly and Mom look much closer in age than Mom and Dad might be confusing. Okay, moving on, getting off my soapbox. So, on the day of Holly's christening, she gets a magic locket from her godmother to protect her from harm, and a curse from a warlock named Hurricane that turns Holly's heart to ice so that she'll have to live in a frosty, cold environment so her heart won't melt and cause her to die. It kind of reminds me of Sleeping Beauty a bit, right? Hurricane used to live in the land of forever, but he was banished for his cruelty. So he's a little like Maleficent, right? Anyhow, for some reason, Hurricane's curse also causes the gates of the land of forever to be locked, and everyone there is imprisoned, including Santa, so there's no more Christmas. So that sucks. Then, one evening, when Holly is more grown up, she discovers the Book of Forever in her father's library. Wouldn't Santa's library be a cool place to visit? I mean, I had to think that. And she learns that, quote, every inhabitant of the land of forever has a special page describing their accomplishment that earned their immortality. Now, I could write a master's thesis about this. I mean, Santa is God and you have to earn your way into heaven, blah, 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 but I won't. Just thank me for that. I just thought it was very interesting the way it's set up. So Holly's page is blank, obviously. So she wonders what she can do for the people of the world, the mortal world, especially since she's locked away from that world. So the rest of the story is about how she gets to the mortal world and what she does to earn her way into that Book of Forever, which of course will involve bringing Christmas back. She meets the boy, now a man, who wrote the letter to Santa that precipitated her birth, and she has to confront Hurricane and defeat him, which is a little hand-wavy here, probably because it's such a condensed version of the longer novel. But basically, it's a love conquers all kind of message. Overall, it's a great origin story of a new Christmas character, and I love the ideas in it. The illustrations are lush and gorgeous and sparkly, very sparkly, and really transport you to this fantasy. In particular, the page with Santa reading the letter, asking him what he wishes for Christmas, has a big old tear rolling down his cheek like a piece of crystal. And it just gets me every time I see it. I'm giving this an 8 out of 10. Okay, so that is about it for this episode, all kids' books. So if you would like to support my show, you can go to patreon.com/Christmas Book Review. If you'd like to recommend a book for me to review, or if you've written a Christmas book yourself and want to send me a copy to review, I can be reached at christmasbookreview@gmail.com. I do have Instagram for the show under the name Christmas Book Review, all one word, where you can see some interesting images from my Christmas reading. And I just want to say thanks for listening. And if you want to help me spread the word about this podcast, leave me a review on iTunes, or better yet, tell a friend. And until next time, which I hope will be soon, another one or two before Christmas, happy reading.